Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
As the season moves into the home stretch and both Ohio teams vie for postseason play, FC Cincinnati and Philadelphia are battling it out for top honors in the Eastern Conference. Soccer guru Neil Sika joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine to break down these moves. Good morning.
Morning, Jay. Great to be with you.
Thank you. You too. Is Wessam Abu Ali the answer to the void left by Cucho Hernandez for the Crew?
And the Crew fans sure hope so. He's a different type of player than Cucho, and he'll be a guy that typically stands inside the box, maybe runs outside a few times in the channel, but more importantly, he's someone who's brought in to score goals in bushelfuls. And I think that's ultimately what the Crew have been missing this season. They've created a lot of chances. Diego Rossi's been in all-star form, but a lot of those chances have been left unfinished, and you're waning and wanting for that if you're a Crew fan, and if you're going to make a run at a trophy. I think Wilfred Nancy knows that. They need that elusive designated player forward that's going to be a match winner, that's going to win games for them, especially when it comes time for the playoffs. This guy scored a hat trick in the FIFA Club World Cup. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury ever since that competition, but a chance maybe for him to debut against New England, work himself in over the next couple of days, and I think it's a system where he can just go out and play, doesn't have to think too much. The chances are going to fall for a player of his caliber, and it's going to be exciting to watch if you're supporting the black and gold.
How has Andres Herrera impacted the team, and what do they mean when they say his agreement is loan to buy? That sounds like I'm going to rent a house.
Yeah, and I think that's common in the soccer world. You see 3 to 6 month loan stints sometimes to see if a player will work out and fit in an environment. And then if you really like him and he flourishes, you can pick up his full contract option. You see it all the time. And I think for teams that are on salary caps and in smaller markets, it makes great fiscal sense because you're not overcommitting to a player for the long haul. And Andres Herrera has been a very good fit for Columbus in that wingback role. And they've got several who can play there. He missed a lot of time because he was getting his visa in the process because his initial loan was up. But to bring him back now, it just adds depth to a position that provides a lot from the flanks for the Crew.
Was the Daniel Gazdag acquisition a good one?
On paper, it was, and I think there's still time to figure that out. I think he's a big part of what they'll do going forward with the likes of Wessam Abu Ali, and now that you have a true number 9, some of the pressure is off of Daniel Gazdag. But in his career, despite scoring a lot of goals with Philadelphia, a lot of those were penalties. I do think he puts himself into great positions. His running is illustrious. There's a fit for him with the Crew now, and I think with Abu Ali's addition, there's less pressure for him to think that he's got to be the guy or score a lot of goals. But if they can get 5 to 6 to 7 more goals from him now, then you're really humming in that attack.
Now, the Columbus Crew was not the only Ohio team active ahead of the trade deadline. Did FC Cincinnati really need to make changes given how well they were playing?
Honestly, I think they're loading up, and if you look at what they did in the transfer window, Jay, if they don't win the Supporter Shield or they don't win MLS Cup, I think it's a very big disappointment. They need to win a trophy. They just added Brenner at the deadline, their former Brazilian forward who comes back from Udinese in Italy. He was excellent his last couple of seasons. Now you've really got a three-headed monster with him, with Kevin Danke, with Evander. It's one of the more fearful attacks in the league. They've added depth to the midfield and the defensive midfield because Wobodo's been hurt for much of the season. So I think you go out, you had a player like Dominic Marchuk, who was from Real Salt Lake. He can play wingback. DeAndre Yedlin is going off to Real Salt Lake in a separate deal. So they've really recalibrated this roster to go for it. They're tied with San Diego on points for the Supporter Shield. I think they've loaded up and done a really good job adding depth all around the park for them to make a real push at being a champion this year.
Now you got to help me with this next guy's last name. Samuel, is it Geedy?
Geedy, yes.
Good for me. How is he going to? That's right. How is he going to impact the team for FC Cincinnati?
You know, I think two of these younger guys that are in the midfield that I just mentioned, the Wobodo injury, they haven't been able to rely on him. They've had Brian Nunga, who's a journeyman, but a steady defensive midfield presence in there along with Buka. I think Geedy is younger. You can take some time for him to really get his feet wet and step into that midfield. But I think it's more about the depth right now with Cincinnati adding some young pieces because of the games that you're going to play down the stretch. They're going to be very physical when we get to the playoffs. Those games have high intensity. You're going to need pieces to rely on, especially in the central midfield and the way they play with their 3-5-2.
Now, Ayoub Jabari is on loan from Grenoble. Do we think he's automatically gone at the end of the season, or is there a chance he's going to play for Cincinnati next year, too?
It's a possibility. I think you never rule anything like that out. And talking about Herrera with the crew, if the pieces fit and it's something that makes fiscal sense, that's where I think you got to give so much credit to Chris Albright and Pat Noonan and some of the shrewd moves they've made to really just recalibrate the whole image of FC Cincinnati after their first couple of years in the league to now one that can be considered a title contender and has made for a great rivalry with Columbus. So looking into that picture with Jabari, he could be someone that they could look to extend should the season go well in the short term for him with the loan.
Now, one team that we haven't discussed but needs to be discussed is Philadelphia. They pose a significant threat to FC Cincinnati for dominance in the Eastern Conference. Where do they stand in terms of their push to the playoffs?
Philadelphia's game last weekend, and they rested a lot of guys because they're also playing for a U.S. Open Cup title. And I think they have a lot of young pieces that really fit in Bradley Carnell's system, the coach who was in St. Louis for a couple of years, and now with an opportunity in Philadelphia that they roster that has a lot of high soccer IQ. Quinn Sullivan's really kind of come of age here in this season as a playmaker for them, but they press you death by a thousand attacks or attacks in the final third, and they're going to come after you and create opportunities. And you've got a four striker room that they play often with two. The pressure that they provide, these guys can go 50 to 60 minutes at high intensity, and then you rotate on, whether it be Baribo, Olaski, the likes of Damiani. I think there's a lot of good pieces there in the midfield, steady defense. The question for Philadelphia is, and always has been, young players, but also their depth. And when the games matter most, do they have an absolute match winner like an Evander? And that's where I think Cincinnati would hold the edge, or even Columbus for that matter. Rossi or Abu Ali are players that can go out and single-handedly win you a game. Philadelphia's got a great team, but it remains to be seen when push comes to shove in a big game, who's going to make the difference for them.
All right, we want to thank Neil Sika for joining us. We're going to find out how it all plays out. And there's more Ohio Sports Magazine straight ahead on the Ohio News Network.
Other stations in town have started using AI voices. It's because they're cheap and they think you're stupid. Well, we may think you're stupid, but we don't think you're cheap, damn it. We're live and local with real people. The Fan, Ohio's real human destiny.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
This year's Guardian season has unveiled an offensive weakness that was present last year, but without last year's pitching, the team can't bank on close games anymore. There is hope in the farm system. Ryan Mitchell from the AAA Columbus Clippers joins us on Ohio Sports Magazine to talk about a few players that could be the future of the team. Always good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be with you.
Always good to be with you. Let's start with Travis Bezzana, the second baseman promoted to the Clippers from AA Akron. What's next for him and how fast?
Well, how fast will determine on what's next. There are steps along the way that everybody has to reach. Even if you're a number one overall pick and the top prospect in the organization, there are things that Cleveland wants to see each player sort of master as they go up the ladder. And master may be a strong term, but benchmarks to achieve, I suppose, is a good way to say it. And Travis has had 11 games now, or just over that, for the Clippers. And, you know, when you look at the results so far, it's not enough of a sample size to put too much stock in the numbers. But visually, what I've been able to see so far is he has a very good command of the strike zone. He has more walks than strikeouts. That's a sign of a guy that knows the strike zone pretty well. The hits haven't really been falling in bunches for him yet, but again, it's such a small sample size that I don't know that you want to take anything from that. You want to look at the swing decisions and then the kind of contact he's making, and both of those have been encouraging. He's only been playing at second base, and he's made all the plays so far, so that obviously is encouraging as well. And for a guy that was taken number one overall, there's a certain amount of pressure there. You know, he's talked about the fact that he's just going about his business and doesn't think about that so much. But the fact of the matter is, there is pressure on when you do that sort of thing, and you have to perform at a certain level, or you're just going to kind of get yourself into a hole where you are mentally trying to dig out of that rather than letting your physicality show. And what we've seen from Bezzana so far is the physical tools are definitely there for him.
Let's move on to the pitching department. Tommy Mace and Ross Carver are right-handed pitchers that were also promoted from Akron. How are they doing?
Well, they have been trying to find their way. Tommy Mace is a second-round pick, and that's a guy, obviously, there's a lot of investment in from the Guardian standpoint. He looks the part. Big, tall guy, has a good arsenal. But again, we're at a point that we've just not seen a lot of him. The numbers at the other levels look encouraging. But at the AAA level for relief pitchers, when you talk about a brief period of time at a level, there are so many pitchers on a AAA roster now with the roster expansion a few years ago that guys don't pitch more than twice or sometimes even once a week out of the bullpen. So it can be hard to gauge exactly where they are. There have been encouraging signs for Tommy Mace as well. And Ross Carver is a guy they acquired in a trade from Colorado. And so they obviously saw something they liked in him. He's gotten some opportunities as well at the AAA level. But you look at what they both have done at the lower levels, and you think, okay, when we get to the end of the season and there has been a body of work, then we can kind of look at it and evaluate more fully. At this point, there just hasn't been enough time at the AAA level for me to really have a whole lot of a sense of what they bring to the table.
How do you feel about Cooper Engle? He's the catcher, and what I want to know is, do you think he can hit?
Well, that's what the Guardians think that is going to be one of his best attributes, is hitting. Now, so far for the Clippers, and again, he came up the same day that that all those other three did, so it's only, you know, a couple of weeks at the AAA level, and as a catcher, you don't play every day, so the sample size is even smaller. Not a lot of hits so far, but as I said with Travis Bezzana, a really good idea of the strike zone. Again, like Bezzana, more walks than strikeouts, and so that's encouraging. When somebody has a really good idea of the strike zone, the numbers are going to come. A lot of the on-base percentage may come from walks, and that's okay. The point is to avoid making an out when you're at the plate. And if you draw a walk, you know, they've been telling you since Little League, a walk is as good as a hit. And, but for Engle, I think the walks are only going to be a part of it. I think he's got some power. I think he's got good bat-to-ball skills. And of all the catchers in the organization, Cleveland feels like he's the most advanced and has the most potential offensively. Now, does that come at the expense of defense? I'm not sure yet. In the time behind the plate, he's handled the pitching staff. He's done what you need a guy to do. Catching is such a difficult thing, and especially going from AA to AAA for a catcher, you're dealing with the ABS system, which he's never dealt with before. You're dealing with the PitchCom system, using the electronic device to tell the pitcher what pitch to throw. That's something he's never dealt with. Oh, by the way, you've got to learn an entire pitching staff. Oh, by the way, you got to hit AAA pitching that you're facing for the first time. So good luck, kid. So if somebody doesn't have a great start to a AAA experience as a catcher, don't read anything into that, because there is so much going on that any one thing is going to be very tough to master early on.
Parker Messick started the season with the Clippers, and he was called up and looked great against the Diamondbacks. Can he be a rotation savior, or once again, is it too soon to tell?
Well, saying anybody is a rotation savior is going to be very, very difficult. I mean, that sort of moniker has been hung on a lot of guys over the years. And there are very few of those pitchers in baseball for any team. Parker Messick, I think, as long as he just remembers who he is and stays within himself, is going to be a solid contributor at the major league level throughout his career. And I think any organization, if you told them everybody comes up as a solid major league contributor, they would take that, because there's such a range of fringe guys and all-stars and Hall of Fame type players that if you get solid contributions 1 through 9 in your batting order and from your rotation and your bullpen, you're probably going to be a pretty good team. Parker Messick is a guy that he's got a lot of confidence. He understands what he does well, stays away from the things that maybe he's not doing as well. I think he's built to succeed in the major leagues because of his mindset and mentality and demeanor every bit as much, if not more, than the physical tools that he has. He's got, as a left-hander, throws upwards of 94 miles per hour, usually sits about 92 with the fastball, but the secondary stuff and the willingness to throw it in tough counts against good hitters, that's one of the more impressive things about Parker. I just think he has the mentality and the mental toughness to succeed at the major league level.
We want to thank Ryan Mitchell from the Columbus Clippers for joining us. There's more Ohio Sports Magazine straight ahead on the Ohio News Network.
Now is a great time to schedule a back-to-school dental appointment. Dr. Hal Jeter, president of the Ohio Dental Association, is here to tell us more.
Your child's teeth and gums need the right food, nutrition, and vitamins to grow strong and stay healthy. Help them maintain good oral health by brushing every morning and night, flossing, visiting the dentist twice a year, and developing good eating habits. As kids head back to school, it's important to know that foods and drinks high in sugar, acidity, and other cavity-promoting substances are often low in nutritional value, and they have the potential to create plaque capable of damaging tooth enamel. A back-to-school dental appointment can diagnose any potential problems and improve your child's oral health. Ohio Dental Association member dentists are located throughout the state, are dedicated to providing the highest quality dental care, are bound by the highest ethical standards, and obtain superior ongoing education and training. Ask if your dentist is a member of the Ohio Dental Association so you know you are being treated by the best. To find an ODA dentist in your area, visit oda.org.
Proper tree care is an investment that can lead to increased personal enjoyment. Prevent winter tree damage by scheduling winter tree work now. Winter can be tough on trees. Heavy snow, ice, and wind can cause serious damage. Don't wait until it's too late. Now is the perfect time to schedule winter tree work. Pruning during the dormant season keeps your trees healthy and helps prevent costly storm damage. Visit trees4ohio.org to find a qualified arborist near you. That's trees4ohio.org. Let's keep your trees strong all winter long.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcast. From the Ohio News Network. The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The Cincinnati Bearcats football team finished last year's season 5-7 overall, having lost their last five games in a row. They play in the Big 12 Conference, and while the finish last year was an improvement over the year before, the Bearcats are not where they want to be. They're hoping returning players and transfers are the key to making a bowl push this year. Legendary broadcaster Dan Hoard, who calls radio for both the Bearcats and our Cincinnati Bengals, joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. Great to be on with you.
Thank you. We're glad you're here. Question one, how important is it for the team to have Brendan Sorsby at quarterback again this year?
It's huge. Brendan Sorsby is a very good player who's gaining experience. He started a few games for Indiana 2 years ago. He started every game for Cincinnati last year. He's still got 2 years of eligibility left. And earlier this year, The Athletic ranked every starting quarterback, every projected starting quarterback in college football, number one through number 136. And they had Brendan Sorsby number 20 in the country. So if you've got the 20th best quarterback in college football, you've got reason for optimism that you can have an excellent season.
Yeah, that's huge. The team, though, lost its top four receivers. So how's that going to affect this year's offense? Is he going to run the ball more?
No, I don't think so. In this day and age with transfers, you can lose returning players and not have much continuity, but bring in far more talented players. And I think that's what Cincinnati did at the wide receiver position. They're all new names for Bearcat fans, but they're going to get to know them very quickly. The two guys that stand out the most are Cyrus Allen. He is a transfer from Texas A&M with blazing speed. And then Jeff Caldwell from a very small school, Lindenwood, in Missouri. But he's 6'5", and he is one of the most freaky athletic players I think Cincinnati has had in a long time. He broad jumps 11 feet 9 inches, which I think would have been 7 inches better than any wide receiver at the NFL scouting combine last year. So those two guys and others give Cincinnati the opportunity to have a really good passing game.
So he's the guy you want in the leapfrog contest.
Yes. Yes, you do. Among other things, I think Jeff Caldwell has a good chance of playing in the NFL, but he is taking a big step up in competition from Lindenwood to the Big 12.
I should say so. Now, a quarterback is largely dependent on the success of the offensive line. Will transfers Joe Cotton and Taron Tyo provide enough line protection for Sorsby, in your opinion?
Well, they're both good players, but that's one of the biggest question marks on the team this year. They have three offensive linemen, and they're still in NFL camps right now. So when you lose three NFL-caliber offensive linemen, it naturally becomes a question mark. The two guys that you mentioned, Joe Cotton and Taron Tyo, are both highly regarded transfers. Joe Cotton started the last 2 years at left tackle in South Dakota. Taron Tyo has been a starter the last couple of years and an all-league player at Kent State, or I'm sorry, Ball State in the MAC. And they've got the returning center at Cincinnati that's been a starter for several years. The right tackle has had experience. So it's a mix of some returning players and transfers, and they're hoping that it's going to be solid. But again, because of the guys they lost, that is a legitimate question mark.
How good is Dante Corleone on defense, and how will he lead that side of the squad?
Dante Corleone is tremendous. He's going to be in the NFL, and he's going to be there for a long time. He had blood clots in his lungs last summer, couldn't work out, couldn't go through football training camp, and he was still an all-league player in the Big 12. The blood clots are behind him now. He's in great shape. He's ready to have a monster season and try to improve his draft stock. They call him the Godfather because of his name, Dante Corleone, and he makes offers that you can't refuse up front on the defensive line. He is a terrific player, and he is the key to Cincinnati's defense.
What about Cincinnati's special teams? Any concerns there?
The major reason why they did not finish with a winning record and go to a bowl game last year. They gave away close games in the margins, and it often came down to special teams. They punted pretty well last year, but I would say in every other special teams category, they did not do well. So they've got a new special teams coordinator. They've got a new kicker. They've got a new punter. Their new kicker comes from Charlotte, and he was Mr. Perfect last year. Didn't miss a field goal, didn't miss a PAT. By mentioning that, I virtually guaranteed he will miss his first kick on Thursday night against Nebraska. But he didn't miss any last year, and the new punter was second team All-SEC at Arkansas 2 years ago. So they think it's going to be a big upgrade, but we'll see.
Let's look at the schedule. Does the schedule allow them to finish better than 5-7 and possibly get a bowl berth, or are they going to stall out?
I think the schedule is favorable, mostly because they've got seven home games. And they do play some of the lower regarded teams in the Big 12 at home. They've got Arizona at home. They've got UCF at home. In the non-conference schedule, they've got Bowling Green and Northwestern State, a couple of teams that you'd obviously expect them to beat. So I think it's a fairly favorable schedule, but the Big 12 is so difficult to project. Last year, the team that was picked for last place, Arizona State, won the championship. The team that was picked for first place won five games. I don't think there's any power conference that's harder to project than the Big 12. I would say that probably 11 of the teams in the league have a chance, at least, of winning the championship. And I would put Cincinnati in that category. Do I expect it to happen? Probably not. But I can't say that I would be shocked if it did.
When you look at these 12 games, who's the opponent that gives you the most pause?
Nebraska, just because of the circumstances of the game. So they open against Nebraska at Arrowhead Stadium. Technically, it's a Cincinnati home game, and I'm not including this among the seven home games that I mentioned earlier, but for all realistic purposes, it's a Nebraska home game. It's much closer to Lincoln, Nebraska than it is to Cincinnati. The majority of the fans are going to be rooting for the Cornhuskers. But as I have mentioned to the Cincinnati head coach, Scott Satterfield, Nebraska fans wear red. Cincinnati's colors are red and black. Just tell your players to look into the crowd and not listen to what they're saying, and you'll think it's a home game. So we'll see if that works. But in any case, it's a challenging game. Nebraska was a good team last year. I think they're ascending under Matt Rhule. They had a winning season for the first time in 8 years. They won a bowl game. So the circumstances of the game and the fact that it's a Big Ten opponent makes that first one difficult and intriguing, to say the least.
All right. We want to thank Dan Hord for being with us, and hope you'll come come back in a few weeks to talk a little bit about the Cincinnati Bengals as well.
Would be happy to do so.
All right. There's more Ohio Sports Magazine straight ahead right here on the Ohio News Network.
It's hot out. Stay in the house and cool yourself with the sweet sounds of the Fan. You can watch on YouTube or tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. It's the equivalent of putting ice cubes down your pants.
All right!
The Fan. This is ONN.
We're in the thick of week one of the 2025 college football season. Because of the Labor Day holiday, several games featuring top 25 teams are in action Sunday, with an intriguing Power 5 matchup Monday featuring Texas Christian playing at North Carolina in the first game for Bill Belichick as he begins his college coaching career. The biggest game of the weekend will feature number 3 Ohio State hosting number 1 Texas Saturday, August 30th at Ohio Stadium in Columbus. It's the first college start for sophomore quarterback Julian Sain. The 5-star Sain from Carlsbad, California, was initially committed to the University of Alabama as an early enrollee, but he entered the transfer portal after Alabama head coach Nick Saban announced his retirement. Saban soon committed to Ohio State and served as the third string quarterback last season. Paul Feinbaum covers college football for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop earlier this week on ONN affiliate WBNS FM in Columbus. Paul says expectations for Julian Sain have always been extremely high.
I mean, he was going to be the next one. And when I say that, we're talking about a run of Jalen Hurts, Tunga Vailoa, Mac Jones, Bryce Young. And that circle was broken finally by Jalen Milroe being, in many ways, a bust. So, yeah, I mean, he was going to start for a couple of years. From an Alabama standpoint, if Julian Sain goes out there and lights it up Saturday and the Buckeyes win and Caleb Downs does exactly what he's supposed to do, you talk about some angry Alabama fans. They're not a factor in this game, but some of their players are, and I think that's really significant.
It's a hell of a sliding doors. Like, if he just stays at Alabama, what happens in college football over the last couple of years? Because he really had it set up. Let's go to some of the other ones, obviously. My hunch is are you at LSU Clemson? Is that where your group will be Saturday?
We actually not. And I don't know what kind of rules the Big Ten Network has, but we are not allowed to go to a road game. We only can do neutral site or home. You tell me, when you start going down to what's the next best game, there are none. So we will be in Atlanta for that doubleheader of Tennessee-Syracuse, which I don't think a single person in Columbus will watch. No. It's on at the same time. And then the other game is Virginia Tech and South Carolina.
That's an interesting one on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Does Brian Kelly need that one Saturday night in Death Valley? Because this team for Dabo, to me, looks like a team that maybe his last great shot to go win everything.
Brian Kelly does need it. Now, he won't be fired if he loses, although there will be a few people who would like to see him fired. But the problem he has, in addition to all the things you've heard about them not being able to win a opening game since 2019, is that he has a loss now, and he still has a home game in 2 weeks with Florida. They may be very good. He's at Alabama. He's at Ole Miss. He deals with Oklahoma. The cushion becomes very nerve-wracking for Brian Kelly if a couple of other schools are really good. Now, I do think for either Ohio State or Texas, they can probably all afford a third loss because of this opening game. Clemson can't because of the league they play in.
No, I think that's spot on, absolutely. So in the months that you've been building up to this, is there a team in the South, ACC, SEC, that we're not talking about enough? And is there a team where the bubble will burst, maybe even potentially this weekend?
I don't think LSU's bubble bursts, but Tennessee could lose to Syracuse. They were, I guess I don't need to remind your audience, they were a playoff team last year. It really didn't seem like it. Not a team that matters a whole lot to anybody, but the Auburn-Baylor game is interesting just from a hot seat standpoint. Hugh Freeze loses that, and they'll be going through resumes trying to figure out who his replacement will be. I really, they don't play a big game this week, but they do in a couple weeks at Notre Dame, and I think Texas A&M is a team that is being vastly underrated. I think they have a chance too.
I'm glad we're here. You've never had an opening weekend like this, have you, buddy? You can't remember one with this many great games.
No, I mean, there have been some good ones. Back in the day, Notre Dame, Michigan was maybe a 1-2 30, 40 years ago, but there's never been two games like Clemson, LSU, and the Buckeyes game. And then I still think Notre Dame, Miami is a massive game on Sunday night.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Other stations have crappy ratings and they wonder why no one listens. So instead of investing money in local talent, they fire people and plug in AI voices. Gee, real entertainment. Well, all of our dummies are real, damn it. The Fan, Ohio's real human destiny. This is ONN.
It's been a rough week here for the Cincinnati Reds. We're joined now by Steve Offenbaker, host of the Locked On Reds podcast. And Steve, the Reds, it's not been great, but they've had some chances here. They've had the bullpen with some struggles recently that's really affected them in the standings, at least, according to wins and losses. What can we attribute some of these bullpen struggles to?
Well, if you look at this bullpen, they're pitching in an extraordinary numbers of games this season. Tony Santion right now, I think, leads the league in appearances. He keeps going back and forth, first and second in appearances. You start putting that kind of wear on an arm. You know, we're almost through August heading into September. People are going to wear out. They're going to be tired. They're going to need extra rest. And I think that's what we're seeing not only with Santion, but we've seen it with Pagan. We've seen it with Scott Barlow. Everybody's showing signs of wear and tear.
I want to go back real quick, speaking of the bullpen, to those couple games, the first two games in that series against the Brewers. Are we going to look back and pinpoint those two games as maybe a reason the Reds didn't make the playoffs?
No, those games for sure on that list. I kind of have a list of those games, right? You can go all the way back to opening day to find the first one when Ian Jabot comes in and blows that save and gives up the opening day win. So you look at those, and those are the games the Reds could have. Those are the games the Reds should have won. And yeah, those Brewers games are for sure on that list because that was a prime opportunity to gain a lot of ground. And this team continues to tease us, right? They tow right up to the line of making us believe, and then they trip over it. So it's like you never quite know what's going to happen.
With the bullpen, it could be getting some help in the form of some healthy starters. Nick Lodolo made his return this week. Chase Burns should be back soon. Will we see possibly Chase Burns join Nick Martinez in the bullpen?
Well, that's something that Terry Francona has said, that was an option. So I know that in the past, in his college years, Chase Burns was never really thrilled about the idea of pitching out of the bullpen in any scenario. But if you're in a playoff push and it helps the team, you know, these are professional athletes, I think he'll go. It really would be a pun intended shot in the arm for the bullpen to get Nick Martinez and Chase Burns down there and really just take some of the workload off of guys like Santion and Pagan and Barlow, because they really need some help. And these will be some arms that can come in and give you multiple innings on multiple days. So it really would bolster this bullpen.
It sounded like the injury to Tyler Stevenson wasn't much, and they were expecting him back, and then he goes on the IL. What's the latest with Tyler Stevenson and his health?
So he has a fracture on the tip of his thumb, of all things, and it's not really something where they have to wait for that spot to heal for him to come back. It's more a problem with being able to play through the pain that it's going to cause catching a baseball with that hand. Now, while he was out in Arizona on the road trip, he went and saw a hand specialist who made a custom fit foam. Think of it like a cast, but not quite a cast. They fit it to his hand and they fit it to his glove with the idea that maybe it will help him be able to power through and play through the pain. So now it's a waiting game. It's a waiting game for it to heal enough for him to be able to play through it.
It's put a lot of pressure on Jose Trevino. Did the Reds have any idea when they signed him in the offseason that they were going to get the type of production they have from him?
You know, it's probably what they hoped for. You know, at one point, Jose Trevino was an all-star for the Yankees and had a really good year, kind of like the year he's having right now. I don't know that they counted on Jose Trevino to play as much as he has. You know, I think they thought he could be a really good fill-in for the times they just needed a fill-in, but not be the primary catcher. But he's turned into a very good primary catcher right now. He's played a lot of games. And boy, how smart does the front office look signing him early and locking him up? He's going to be around here for a lot of years and be a big part of what the Reds are able to do with these young pitchers and what they're able to do at the catcher position.
Speaking of guys that we hope are around for a lot of years, there's a lot of fans clamoring right now for the Reds to call up Sal Stewart. Do you think we will see that here moving forward? And how big of a role was he going to play in a playoff push?
Yeah, I think we see him in September. He's going to get a cup of coffee. He's going to get that call up. The thing to remember, though, is he's never played in the major leagues. He'll be making his debut. You don't know what you're going to get. I caution fans to not do that thing we do in Cincinnati, which is set expectations so high that the only thing the player can do is disappoint. He's going to come up. He's going to learn. The whole point of the cup of coffee, the call up at the end of the season, is to get him a little bit of exposure to the majors and prepare him for next year where he may compete for a job. So if he comes up, I look for him to get playing time, but he's not going to be the missing piece that puts this team into the playoffs. He's going to be a piece that gives guys some rest, lets them be healthy, and allows them to propel this team forward. Think about Spencer Steer a few years ago. Similar type of playing time, similar type of numbers, I would suspect.
Definitely give the Reds fans, though, something to look forward to, plus a playoff push down the stretch. Steve Offenbaker of the Locked On Reds podcast, thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Appreciate it.
More of the Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Do you want to sell your property, however, you need a little help getting through the process? Let's say you have years of belongings in the home. It needs a lot of updating. You're overwhelmed. You might not be big on technology, and you may need help finding a place to go. I will help you. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or a bad breakup or a relative moved out. It's been hard and you just want to take what you want and leave the rest behind. I will help you. Retiring and want to sell your commercial properties or land. I will help you. Sellers, whether you're selling as is or selling for top dollar, you're no longer alone. Visit us today at TurboTrackRealty.com or call me now for an all-cash offer and, more importantly, the help you need at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Got a teen athlete? Then you know putting in the hours is all part of the game. But did you know the same goes for learning how to drive? Because just like playing a sport, learning to drive takes practice. The only difference is the stakes are even higher. 50 hours of practice time driving with you? Worth every minute. Gear up at teachyourteentodrive.ohio.gov.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Worf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
Imagine what it would feel like getting tackled head-on by a 240-pound linebacker. You'd be in serious pain, right? But if you're unbuckled in a car crash at just 50 miles an hour, you become a deadly projectile that can slam into other passengers with 8 times that amount of force. Don't let someone else take the hit. Buckle up and visit buckleup.ohio.gov to learn more. Brought to you by ODOT and ODPS.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Jay Crawford breaks down the Cleveland Browns defensive line and explains why he believes this might be the best supporting cast Myles Garrett has had during his time in Cleveland.
To me, what Myles Garrett has done is even more impressive. He's done it alone. He hasn't had that wingman, except for Clowney, who I think had 10 sacks that year.
I think that's the only guy that's ever had double-digit sacks.
That was it.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Alex Wright. I'm still open to the idea that my eyes are blurry when I'm looking at McGuire and I'm not seeing what I'm supposed to be seeing or what PFF is seeing. So maybe I'm holding out hope that maybe he can be the guy. But I like this question, and here's why. Here's my takeaway from this. He may not have a superstar on the line with him, but when you take all of the pieces on the defensive front for the Cleveland Browns, it's possible. I'm not saying that we're there yet. This could be the best defensive front that he's had to work with. When you talk about Mason Graham as a first-round draft pick, Mike Hall is a guy who flashed big time last year. We're talking about, is it McGuire or Wright? Well, there's four guys.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Common Man and Timmy.
My back hurt from putting today.
But Warrior Dash.
You want me to roll around and run up the warp wall?
Get out of your damn mind.
Let's go. Common Man and Timmy Afternoons on the Fan is sponsored by Hinderer Motorsport.
Fan. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Big thank yous to Dan Hoard, Ryan Mitchell, and Neil Sika for being guests on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine. Thanks to all of our Locked On podcast contributors this week as well. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Ryan Baker, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
This is SportsCenter.
Number 9 LSU rallied past 4th-ranked Clemson, 17-10. It's the first time under Brian Kelly that the Tigers began the season with a win, and that wasn't lost on the head coach.
These wins are big, there's no doubt. There's a boomerang effect for them, but they had confidence coming into this game. We just need to keep doing what we're doing. We'll go back at it Monday, and we need to go 1-0. And that's our mindset each and every week. I know it's a cliche, but cliches, you know, stick around because they're true. And so 1-0 is really our mantra.
Kelly improved to 2-10 in his career against AP top five opponents, with the other win coming in 2020 as the Notre Dame head coach against number one Clemson. And in the shocker of the day, quarterback Tommy Castellanos led a punishing rushing attack from Florida State with 78 yards and a score as the Seminoles stunned 8th-ranked Alabama 31-17, ending the Crimson Tide streak of 23 straight wins in season openers. Meanwhile, Ohio State QB Julian Sayin turned the tables on Heisman favorite Arch Manning, becoming the first QB to win his first collegiate start against an AP number one team since 1984 as the Buckeyes edged the Longhorns 14-7. Manning threw for 170 yards with one TD and one INT. Meanwhile, Kirk Ferentz moved into a tie in Big Ten's all-time winningest coach as Iowa defeated Albany 34-7. In his 27th season as coach of the Hawkeyes, Ferentz won his 205th game with the program, tying Ohio State's Woody Hayes on the conference's all-time list.
What's up, kiddos? Clinton Yates here. Coming up on Monday, we'll recap a huge week one in college football and catch you up on anything you might have missed from the weekend. It's Clinton and Friends at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
City in the Deep South. This is the best week ever with Peter Burns and Courtney Cronin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
We are so back. College football is here. Best week ever. Peter Burns, Courtney Cronin, always presented by Progressive Insurance. You give us a call on the Dr. Pepper
hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN. And we will have a little Sunday morning therapy coming up in just a little bit, CC. Like, there's cars already parked in the parking lot. Traffic, you know, like when they open up a brand new restaurant in town and
line out the door.
Line outside the door. Snow soft opening for Sunday morning therapy. We'll have that in a little bit. You can get on hold right now. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's start it with this, though. Go.
This is the biggest story of the week ever.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Might have cried. Might have got a little emotional. Seeing all the tributes all week long, really, to Lee Corso making his final appearance on College Game Day. The absolute legend. He started his career with his mascot picks, picking Ohio State. Here's how he ended it.
This is one of the easiest picks I've ever made. Texas is loaded. Texas is number one. They have a Manning quarterback. Poor Ohio State. They ain't got a chance. Give me my first love.
Oh, there it is. Here it comes.
The crowd went crazy in Columbus. I thought it was really cool that Fox, one of the competitors of ESPN, aired that as well. It was just all of college football coming together. And just a moment that was really, really cool. And then it led to the game itself. Defensively, it was a battle. Paul Keels from Learfield, IMG, on the call.
Fourth and less than one, Manning. Quarterback under center, Hudson. Behind him is Baxter at tailback. Manning takes it straight ahead, and it doesn't look like he's going to get in there. As there's a big pile near the one and the goal line, and the Buckeyes have stopped him. Arch Manning cannot get into the end zone, and Ohio State will take over on downs right at about their own one-yard line.
You know, the more things change at Ohio State, Peter, the more they stay the same. We remember the goal line stop from the Notre Dame game, the national championship, when their defense just says, thanks, but no thanks. And then we see them follow it up there. You heard the call there from Paul Keels from Learfield. The tush-push that was nowhere close. Nowhere close.
It was an odd call. It was
on fourth and one, I get it, but you're trying to help your quarterback. You think that he should be able to get in 1 yard. Not against that defense.
What I didn't like is if you saw the play on the goal line, and by the way, it was atrocious red zone calling, play calling once again. It killed them again, the game against Ohio State last year, killed them in this game. But it's a weird formation. They did this like sugar huddle where they hurry up and run it, and it was just, again, you can't be called one of the best quote unquote play callers in all of college football and absolutely choke when the moment was big. And that's twice that C. Sarkisian's done that for his Texas squad. He did it last year with Quinn Ewers, did it this year with Arch Manning. And really, both defenses were absolutely incredible. There's really only one play that stood out, and it was this one.
Sand in a shotgun, receives the football, fakes a handoff, looks to throw. Sand will pump that one deep down to the right side, left sideline, Tate with it, take it down in the end zone for a touchdown. Carnell Tate gathered it in inside the four, and a pass came down to left side. Tate had to fight with a defender to get that ball as it hung in the air. Derek Williams, the safety, is who was jockeying for him. Carnell Tate hauls in a touchdown pass from Julian Sand, and it's 13-0 Ohio State.
He didn't just have to fight with that defender. Do you remember he caught it like through the defender and then somersaults backwards into the end zone?
And it was Jeremiah Smith that had all the hype, but Tate made the two big catches in that game. And that's what happens when you have an alpha A1 as a wide receiver. Your number two option is a pretty damn good option at that point. All right, so we'll break that game down a little bit more. And again, I thought Matt Patricia, absolute hat tip. Coming from the NFL, I thought that that defense might struggle. They had Arch in an absolute blender. But it wasn't as chaotic as this game was. Lee Corso, he was over at FSU for a while. Who'd he pick?
Florida State is my school. How hell are we picking against them? Florida State upsets Alabama. Yeah.
All right. Uncle Lee, let's get you to bed. There's no way that Florida State's going to be Alabama, right? Well, Jeff Gohan from Learfield IMG on the call.
Going quickly now. Toss outside. Keziah Holmes dives for the pylon. Far sideline. He's in. Keziah with a big time play. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU. Jay Sizzle. Ain't nobody scared. Let's go, Noles! Show the nation! Put the
Was that a live feed of Thomas Castellanos' helmet? Is that who the analyst was for FSU?
I think so. Because remember, he was the one who said that because Nick Saban wasn't there to save Alabama, they would have no way of stopping him.
Yeah.
Well, he was kind of right yesterday, and he looked really, really good in the process.
636 days of agony washed away in 60 minutes of football time. And those 636 days, that was the countdown since FSU was left out of the college football playoff, which led to nobody showing up in the bowl game. They were just absolutely destroyed by Georgia. Then sure enough, they have a season to forget, 2-10. Who the hell, how would you have a chance? It's Alabama. They have a great roster. Ryan Grubb's coming back. I mean, listen, 9-3 was a great job by Kalen DeBoer last year. And sure enough, that happens. Kalen DeBoer in his postgame presser, tell me, what the hell happened?
There's no excuse about what happened. We step on the football field. They step on the football field. And we got to play ball. We got to play our style of ball. And, you know, last year isn't this year. And it's going to be an uphill climb.
Did you hear that?
Mikey, can we hit that again? I think there was something in the background.
There's no excuse about what happened. We step on the football field. They step on the football field. And we got to play ball. We got to play our style of ball. And, you know, last year isn't this year. And it's going to be an uphill climb.
I believe that was the locker room celebrating.
You could hear the FSU chants as he's legitimately talking about how last year's not this year. Well, buddy, you better hope that this year gets as good as last year. I mean, you had the loss to Oklahoma. You had the loss to Vanderbilt. And Thomas Castellanos and Gus Malzahn, they had Alabama's defense in a blender.
Can I just say one thing? Because I'm barely happy for Florida State. I'm happy for Mike Norvell. I'm happy for a team that was 2-10 last year, getting it right.
Uh-oh. No offense, but. All right, so go ahead.
Did they need to rush the field?
Yes, absolutely. 1,000%.
Are you okay with that?
I have no problem with that. For two reasons.
Man.
I have no problem because they were 2-10 last year, okay? This was a pathetic football team last year. And everything is a race with Mike Norvell because you won. And I'll tell you the other reason why it's big. It's big for Alabama because you still are in everybody's psyche as a program, right? You're still there. Because the day that teams and programs and fans don't want to rush the field because you beat Alabama, that's when you're no longer relevant in college football. You storm the field when something historic happens, and people still think of Alabama in historical terms, but that is quickly eroding. 5-5 in the last 10 games for Kalen DeBoer, okay? Nick Saban was a double-digit favorite in 139 games at Alabama. He lost three of them. He was 136-3 in those games. Kalen DeBoer's been a double-digit favorite in 14 games. He's already lost four of them. It is wild.
And it wasn't some whack opponent that they opened up with. Like, Florida State is from a massive conference, one of the Power Four schools. They didn't open up against some cupcake.
It was not a fluky.
No.
Vanderbilt, what Diego Pavia did was the same exact thing that Vanderbilt last year is exactly what FSU did. They had a quarterback that had a great game plan. Norvell, like Clark Lee, got him to believe. Gus Malzahn did a great job of getting Castellanos in the right spot, and they bullied the bully. There is no longer this, they get off the bus, and you're like, well, we're going to lose. You felt that with Nick Saban. You don't feel that with Kalen DeBoer's team right now. And I don't know how that changes or if it ever will change.
It's crazy. They had one of the longest streaks of season-opening wins, dating back to 2001. That was snapped yesterday.
Again, Paul Feinbaum's taking phone calls right now. 888-ESPN. We're going to get into your phone calls here in just a little bit. But Lee Corso was not done. Who was his pick to win it all?
But the winner, LSU. LSU wins a national championship.
Go Tigers.
You got the fighting brand.
Can we congratulate them, Ohio? LSU just won the national championship.
LSU just said, just pick
you down. All right. Yeah. Now, in order for that to happen, LSU was going to have a defense. They went to the other Death Valley, and courtesy of the LSU Sports Radio Network, it sounded like this.
Klubnik takes the snap, drops back, now sprints to his right. Pressure comes, hit as he throws. Incomplete down at the 5-yard line. Turnover on downs. LSU football. Harold Perkins on a beeline to Cade Klubnik. Forced the throw on the run, and the Tigers of LSU have the football with 59 seconds remaining, leading 17-10 over Clemson.
What a massive win for LSU. They get off that season opener loss skid. It was two in a row for Brian Kelly. You go back and look at it, it had been five times in a row that LSU had not won a season opener, and they went in there and defensively, they were dominant. Mm-hmm. Again, I tweeted this halfway through, CC, is that I had no idea how the game was going to end, but I felt 50 times better about LSU's defense. This was the first time that they had an aggressive defense. Blake Baker got his guys. They were sending the dogs, and if you lost, you lost. But, man, that was a throwback to old-school LSU football.
To keep Cade Klubnik, who had the most touchdown passes of any quarterback last year, out of the end zone, no passing touchdowns for him. He hasn't had a game like that in a very long time. Big sign of where things are headed for this LSU defense. Because, remember, all the years that they were undone by their own defense. The Jaden Daniels Heisman Trophy year, certainly last year, you could look at that and say, yep. Yeah, more issues that Brian Kelly's got to figure out. Today, I think he's feeling pretty good because he's not slamming his fist on a table talking about things that they have to figure out and they haven't yet. Dare I say, biggest winner of this weekend is Brian Kelly because we are not talking about him and his job security today.
Mike Norvell, same thing. Brian Kelly. And Ryan Day, although we got to figure out, does Ryan Day have his nipple pierced? I've seen that picture.
It
would not surprise me. And guess what? You can do it anything when you win a national championship and you hold Arch Manning, the greatest quarterback in the history of the universe, according to Paul Feinbaum. And that day, coffee's for closers. All right. You ready? You better get some coffee and get caffeinated. The line is outside the door. We were going to do Sunday morning therapy an hour later in this show. To hell with the rundown. That coming up next.
Hey, everybody, it's Rich.
To ESPN Radio, The Rich Eisen Show.
I think Rodgers knows it's his last chance, but I don't think that puts pressure on him.
Rich Eisen returns weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on Disney Plus.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball. And sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.